So I back 30 seconds.
Right.
Oh, wonderful. And we are live. So thank you so much, Anthony, for joining us this afternoon.
Pleasure.
This live online event, Made Simple podcast.
Absolute pleasure. It's really good to be here at last.
It is. And you know what? One of the things that's been lovely is that you've been also sharing this with everybody on your social media as well. And we really appreciate that, because that's a whole part of, you know, I guess even making sure your online events happen and go well. So thank you very much for getting involved and sharing your session with us this afternoon.
No, I think you touch on a good point already. I think it's one of the key points of the virtual world is building a community.
Yeah.
If you want to build any kind of online community, then you've got to speak to people. You've got to share the content. So that's a given.
Absolutely. So talk to us then a little bit about what you've been doing in the online events world recently.
Cool. Okay. Well, for us, it's almost a new venture. I mean, you know, you talk of 2020, and already when you go back to when this first kind of kicked off, it seems like an age ago, you know? Carl made a great comment in a meeting I was in yesterday that you can always take 2020 in kind of dog years, where every month seems like several years or something's happened. So for us, when exhibitions stop, so that's my background, is I've been building exhibition stands since the late 90s, been in live events for a long time. And when that all kind of stopped, it was looking at, right, what can we do? How can we change our offering? And to me, virtual seemed like the natural way to go. So we've gone on a bit of a journey over the last months to create a virtual platform, but I think our view's been slightly different in terms of we've taken it for what the event experience should be, and made the technology fit it. And it seemed to me in the early days of looking at virtual, a lot of people had the technology, and it was kind of, okay, let's kind of shoehorn a virtual event into this technology. So that's what we've been up to for certainly the last few months. And in the last 6 weeks, that's really ramped up. So we've started running our first few virtual events now.
Yes.
We've got a few things on the platform, which is great. But everything we've done is around the client experience, which I bang on about all the time. It's about making human connections in the virtual world. That's the bit we've got to take from physical events. You get together with people, you meet your peers, you have those kind of spontaneous conversations. And many of the virtual platforms or virtual things I've seen out there, they lack that spontaneity. And that's what we've been working on really, is trying to bring that spontaneity into a 3D world.
So that's really interesting. So talk to us just a little bit about the transition from building stands to virtual. You know, apart from the pragmatic approach of, you know, this is the climate, let's pivot. But what was that actually like? How much internal tech competence did you already have, for example, within the business?
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting point. I'm probably the most technical person in the business. So I've got a good understanding of technology at a base level. But what we felt was important was to find a tech partner as opposed to starting from the ground up. So we spent a long time looking in the marketplace, but for people that were doing VR content outside of the events industry.
Interesting.
We tried to find someone that was good in VR. We tried to find someone that was good at technology and kind of say, look, let's bring you into the events marketplace. And the company we found, and I'm happy to give them a shout anytime, it's B360, proud to partner with them. It was a really interesting conversation when we first met, because their marketplace had also changed. They did a lot of training in the VR world and send the VR headsets around the world to put on and do things. And their marketplace had changed, and they were looking at moving into the events industry. At the same time, we were looking to bring some kind of tech partner into it. So that was the thing we found, is understanding what was out there, really researching who we felt was doing a good job in the VR world, and then working with them to develop their platform so it kind of suited the events market. So that was the big transition. So using the technical knowledge we had, but in fact, it was more important to find people with technical knowledge and use our event knowledge to make the platform user-friendly.
Right.
So that was the transition. That I think was the thing that was most difficult.
And I'm going to ask this question because, you know, I have a particular interest and passion in VR. I think it can be used for so many interesting things.
Definitely.
And also, it's really quite inclusive. It can be very inclusive in terms of who can therefore partake in certain experiences. Why was VR the tech element that you decided to research and then introduce into your offering?
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. Probably for that same reason, I'm interested in VR outside of events. I'm a very bad VR gamer, but I like the whole VR experience. I like the immersion that it gives you. So when we found a partner, I wanted someone that was at the top end of technology. Because I think if you've got someone that's at the top end of technology, you can then work backwards from that point. And then you can get more simplified versions. You can get different things you can bring into it. Now, in truth, when you go on the platform on a day-to-day basis, we're inviting people into a 3D environment and we're creating a virtual event around that. If you wanted to have it in VR, then we can do that for you too. But we realize that most people haven't got the virtual headsets, but we wanted a company that understood that level of immersion. So when you come into an exhibition hall on our platform, you feel like you're immersed in it. You feel like you're in that environment. We've got a couple of tricks up our sleeve already. You know, we've also got an AR element built into it. So you can go on your tablet or your phone and you can scan on a QR code and then you're looking at the stand within your tablet. So it gives you that level of immersion. That's kind of level one immersion. Level two, we go into full VR. And I think some people might dip in and out of those VR experiences. But it was really partnering someone that understood that tech well enough that was that they were intimate with it. So when we kind of bring it back to creating a 3D environment, we knew it was designed to be fully immersive. So that's why we looked at VR as being that first step, because they understand the immersion needed when you go into an online event.
Absolutely. I mean, good VR is all about the senses, isn't it? In terms of being able to feel movement. I've tested out a couple of VR experiences, and you know, even doing activities like skiing. I did one that was skiing, and it felt very real. Apart from the fact that it wasn't actually cold, it felt really real in terms of body movement and even my sense of balance when you were taking the jumps. And so I think that this is really interesting that you have chosen to look into VR and partner with a VR company with that focus on attendee experience. So on that note, Ben, level with me, what has been the biggest challenge in the transition for you as a business, for your business?
I think the biggest challenge, well, there's two challenges. One is in the credibility factor, because I'm a stand builder, you know, and people that know me well know that I'm a stand builder. So the first challenge to overcome is like, well, okay, you were building stands 9 months ago. How come you're now an expert in this field? So that's been one of the challenges that we faced. And I think overcoming that hurdle is a simple case of saying, no, my field of expertise is events, is live events. This is why we've partnered. So that was a challenge to overcome. I think the second challenge to overcome really was starting from this point of creating a 3D experience. So we wanted to create 3D interactive stands, and then looking at it and thinking, actually, that's not enough. It doesn't go far enough. And we developed the first run of product, and we were really pleased with it. And you could go on the stand and you could click around all the points and you could watch all the video, and it just felt really sterile. You know, and that was the biggest challenge. So then we went back to our tech guys and said, look, okay, we need more than this. We need it to be a personal interactive experience. How can we step the levels up? Now, one thing they already had was they had like a back-end tool to allow you to host someone on the platform. So you could take control of their cameras. You could put little highlight points up. So you could say to them, look, come and look here. But it still missed what we're doing at this very moment. It missed this personal interaction. So the first step, and the big hurdle to overcome, was getting video embedded within the platform. So you can look around the 3D environment with your client at the same time. You can then control their cameras. You can guide them around. You know, you can virtually point to things, but you're actually talking. You're seeing each other, communicating. Yes. That's the biggest challenge in step one, to change it from what many 3D experiences out there are still point and click. There are a lot of virtual exhibitions you can go to, and you just click around the points, and you can have a look at it, and you can download information, and they're really great. But it's very sterile, and it doesn't replicate or get anywhere near to replicating that conversation piece that you get in an event. So that was our biggest hurdle to overcome, is taking the technology and thinking, right, how do we make this personal?
Yeah.
Once we created that, that then hit a second challenge, which is, right, so now we created a 3D environment with personal interaction. It's still not enough. If we're looking to create virtual events, we need more than that. So then we developed on live streaming, which we've brought into the platform. Then we developed on breakout rooms. Then we've developed on the networking area, because each kind of touch point within the event, they work slightly differently. So you can't just have one area within a platform that says, come here, everyone, meet in this area. You need people to be experiencing things as big groups, as smaller groups, and an intimate setting. So that was the challenges, really, is looking at the technology and thinking, how can we adapt this to make it personal, interactive, spontaneous is a word I love to use, but just an aim to have those conversations with people during the event. So that was the challenge. It was getting the thought process into the technology.
Right. Now, this is where I also want to talk about this, because one of the things I've talked about recently is the fact that technology is inanimate. Okay. Yep. So yes, advances in technology have meant that we live life in a much different way now. Yep. However, that technology is still created. The algorithm, the coding, all of that is still created. There's some input involved. And so it is inanimate unless we tell it what to do. Now, you've mentioned spontaneity. Funny enough, I received a newsletter from Event Industry News, one of their latest podcasts. They're interviewing another tech company, and they have used the word spontaneity. Now, how realistic is it to create spontaneous experiences when there is actually indeed a lot of strategy and engineering behind virtual events?
Do you know what? It's simplifying it. And I think what people are trying to do, they're trying to go down the route, I think incorrectly, of making AI create that spontaneity. So they're trying to program the sites to pair people up. They're trying to create the sites to matchmake all the time. And what they're losing is just how events work. So again, let's go back to this time last year. Let's say that you and I were going to attend an exhibition. And I might be walking down the aisle way looking at an exhibition stand, and you might be walking the other way. And then we go, hey, I've not seen you for ages. Do you want to grab a coffee? That's what I call spontaneous kind of interaction. Mm. Now, the way you get that in a platform is giving people different areas to look around, but they can see the different delegates that are there, the different exhibitors or the different sponsors. And at any time, you can reach out and talk to people. Mm. So the way we've built it, if you like, we've got different areas. Yes, you've got your main stage. So it could be on the main stage. I could be presenting, the audience are watching, just like in any other kind of live streaming platform you see. Got dedicated chat, text chat, which I think text is very important as well as a touch point. So people can talk about the presentation, they can fire live questions, I can answer those. But beside that, we've got an attendee list. And within that attendee list, you can click on any attendee, you can message them directly, or you can set a video call directly. So it allows you to look who's around the platform. I might be on the main stage area watching a presentation. You could be in the exhibition area, walking around looking at the virtual exhibition stands. And then you might say, oh God, Anthony's over there. Quick message, bang, we're having a talk. Yeah. You know? Or likewise, within the virtual stands that we create it as a hall. And using transport spots, you walk around that hall. And then you might come across an exhibitor, you look at the stand and think, yeah, I'd love to have a chat to these guys. So then we've got an interface on the stand that allows you to say, are you available? And if you're available, you jump straight into a meeting with them. So it's that same spontaneity that you get from being at the hall. If they're not available, you can book an appointment like you can on many of the other platforms.
Yes.
But we wanted to make it that you can be in any part of the platform at any time, and you can reach out to people and you can make conversations. So it's taking the balance away from the technology and it's putting it back in people's hands to look around and say, who's at the show that I want to speak to? And it's exactly the same as when you attend that live event. So that's how we bring spontaneity, by giving you control of where you go in the event at any time.
Right. Now, that's really interesting, because recently when I posted on LinkedIn, I talked about the fact that I think there is too much emphasis on finding this unicorn technology that will suddenly replicate human experience with each other. And that's I actually think it's still about you as an individual, your strategy as a business and a brand, because you can go onto a platform and choose not to reach out to people, choose not to respond to meeting requests.
Yeah.
you don't get anything from it. And so I do think that if you were someone who networks strategically in person, then the likelihood is you will do the same in the virtual space. As long as you know how to use the tech, you'll be away. You know what I mean?
And this is why we've tried to strip it back a little bit as well, because the reality is, if you're a slightly techie person, you can go on most platforms and find your way around without too much of a problem. But we need to remember that when you're putting on an event, the demographic of people attending is so massively wide that if people cannot simply click to go to a live stage area, right, I'm in the live stage area now, I'm watching that presentation.
Yeah.
I want my senior in the network area. Well, no, click, I'm in the networking area. Great, yeah. Who can I talk to? There's the attendees. Great, I'll talk to that person. If you don't make it simple, two or three clicks to get from one place to another and have a conversation, it's too many.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing. We've got to strip the technology back. All the cleverness needs to be in the background. Front end, you need a very, very simple
interface.
You know, so people can just navigate their way around and they can talk to each other.
Yeah.
And I think if you have an event where people are talking, whether it's, you know, on the back of a Q&A session from a live stage, whether it's within the 3D expo area, whether it's in the networking area, if people are talking, that's a successful event, because that's how we used to measure successful events. You know, you'd go to an event, you would talk to people, and that would generate conversations that made it to relationships, made it to business, made it to suppliers. That's what we need to replicate. So the AI can't do that. It's down to people to connect. So it's about making the platform clever in the background, simple in the foreground, and just letting people talk to each other.
Right, so this is really interesting, because our key word is simplicity in everything that we do.
Right.
That's one of the reasons why we just stream onto Facebook, very simple procedure, right? We could have several interfaces, you know, attach together several things. What's the point? Really, the idea is about keeping the online event or the online experience, no matter how small, simple for the attendee and for those who are streaming, you know, joining us, essentially. So talk a little bit about, Anthony, because here's the thing. I love the way you are very transparent about that, one of those first hurdles in terms of getting people to trust you, the credibility piece. Because we recently released an infographic that kind of, you know, gave our idea and vision of what the event tech landscape looks like right now. And there were, of course, our rising stars, and we also had our developer-based platform. So where individual small groups of developers have come together to create something over time. And, you know, there is some trepidation from some of the larger companies out there that they do meet someone like you, but then they're not sure whether to, of course, invest in working with you, because what happens, as you know, just, you know, in terms of, you know, bias towards brands that might be more well known. Talk to us a little bit about what the benefits are of working with a company like yours.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting point. I think the thing you probably get when you get a company such as us, a little bit smaller, moving into a space, we recognize the only way to move into a space and be successful is to be good at it. And to me, the main way to be good at this, again, I'll mention the tech quickly. Have good tech, have it sound, make sure it works, make sure that your tech, whether it's in-house or partnered or however you've set it up, is solid. That goes without saying. But actually, it's about how you handle the event itself.
Mm.
It's about that personal interaction. So the way we would work is, if you decided you want to run an event on our platform, the first thing you get is back-end training. So you can fully understand how the back end of the platform works. You can take control of that platform. You can do whatever you want. You can rebrand it. You can personalize it. So on the day, the platform looks like it's your platform.
Yes.
But you've still got us. I will still be there on event day. I will still be there in the build up. Even if you want full control, I'm still logging on the day at that event. So if there's any issues whatsoever, I'm not on the end of a chatbot. I'm not on the end of a phone or an email. I'm in the event.
Yes.
So that means you've got that complete peace of mind that you can run your event, and if anything happens on the tech side, we're there to take care of it.
Yeah.
So I think what you probably get with companies like us that are moving into the space is a deeper level of customer service, because we need it to work well. So when we do an event, you get that word of mouth thing. People say, God, we worked with them and it was excellent. And one of the first events we ran just a couple of weeks ago, we had that very experience. it's about being flexible. We know what events are like normally. Virtual events, I think, in some ways, you've got to be more flexible because you can achieve different things. And what we found was happening at the event that was running a couple of weeks ago, the Future Scott events, is the delegates ended up having conversations in the global chat about things that were going on different stage areas. And the event organizer would come on to me and say, people want to talk about this topic. Can you set a room up? Great. Bang, room is up. Put a broadcast up. We've just set a room up for this topic. And people gravitate towards it. Yes, you can do that yourself. But when you're running your event, you tend to be caught up in the dealing with your sponsors, dealing with exhibitors, dealing with people within the organization. So that's the big thing. We want to be there to make sure that we're helping you run the event. We're helping those little things that happen during the day. When you want to add a room, when you want to close a room down, whether you decide, look, can we close down the networking area? Because we want to get people to the live stage area. We can do all that for you in the background. And we just form part of the team. So I think that's one of the big advantages.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like that, you know, and this is the thing, you know, this market is going to grow. It's not going to slow down. We've seen the investments being made in the brands that had a little bit more of a foothold already. And so I think that's encouraging even new challenger startups effectively to come into the space of facilitating online meetings and events right now. Yeah, you know, what do you think of... does it mean anything that we're seeing that platforms receive large sums of investment? We've seen that recently with two or three of them.
Yeah, we have. I think what it probably shows is there's a wider confidence in the virtual market. Yes. Personally, I think the way events will develop, the word I prefer to use is hybrid as opposed to virtual. I think we will end up with some physical events that stay in that marketplace, and that's fine. And I think we will end up with virtual events that are virtual events only. But I think the real future for larger scale events is hybrid, where you probably get pre-physical content online only that will be driving people towards the physical events. You'll have things shown at the physical event that will be beamed back to the virtual audience that can't make the live event.
Yes.
And then when the physical event finishes, you will then get an online content as a follow-up kind of event in its own right. So where before we might have seen a big industry annual exhibition might last 3 days, you might find it lasts a week now as this hybrid, and that would be the centerpiece of the year. I think where virtual will come into its own, and I think this is what people are recognizing, and this is why you're seeing these levels of investment, is there will then be satellite events throughout the year that help build that community, that help keep people connected. They would take place virtually. They would be the little bits in between where a month after the big event, there might be a follow-up event, and you get then one of the keynote speakers to come back on. They do a little bit. People have a chance to network and interact with each other. And I think people are recognizing that the virtual marketplace is going to be growing and it's not going to stop growing for some time. So I think that investment you're seeing is because people recognize that there's a big future in the marketplace and people want to get in and get a slice of that pie. So I think it's a positive thing.
Yeah, well, this is interesting that you start bringing this up. So because I think there's far too much emphasis on definitions right now of what things mean. I think that the focus should be on how do we execute what our client needs really well, and how do we make sure that we've advised them about how they can really get the best from the experience as well. I think that should be the focus rather than on the definitions and how things are going to look so much in the future. And so I have one last question for you before we leave. Is what's the question, the one question that you wish more potential clients would ask in the demo with you?
Gina, that's a really, really deep question, isn't it? I'll take a second on that one.
Yeah.
I think it was a statement I would like them to have followed by the question. Okay. I think the statement would like to be, this is what we want our audience to experience. How can we achieve it with you? Because the thing we find with the platform is it can do many different things, but you don't need all of those things at every single event. So it could be that if we know that you're aiming to achieve more of a sales pipeline, then the emphasis we would put would be on the virtual exhibition. If you're looking to achieve more of a community feel, the emphasis we would put would be on the breakout rooms and creating areas that people can go to hold different discussions. So I think probably I would ask my question with the question, which is, as the client, what do you want to achieve? What is your visitor experience in the ideal world? And then I'll show you how we can achieve that. So yes. I think it's getting that greater understanding of people's needs people's to make needs. Sure we're giving them the right parts of the platform.
Well, as you know, buyers at the moment don't like to answer that question.
I don't think they're sure themselves, if we're honest. No. So.
But it's good, actually, because, you know, this isn't scripted at all. And I'm always asking platforms, you know, what question would you wish was asked in the demo? Because, and always the answer is around, what are your main objectives? Because you can engineer the results that you want to a great extent. So thank you so much for sharing that. I'm genuinely, it's been interesting to hear about that transition into the virtual space and the experience of onboarding clients. Thank you very much for sharing. And absolutely. For anyone who's watching this now, if you do have any questions, just pop them into the chat function. If you're actually listening or watching in a pre-recorded or post-recorded state, don't hesitate to still ask any questions you have. You can come and find EventMind on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Instagram. And Anthony, where can companies find you?
Best place to find me is on LinkedIn. So my profile's up there. You've got all the links. We'll be sharing some more video content on the platform shortly. And again, if anyone wants to find me via yourselves, I'm sure there you go. You can put us in touch.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Anthony.
Real pleasure. Thank you very much.